Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings here on the 9th of October. I'm your host for the show, Dr. Peter Kapsner, joined in studio by producers Rachel Sutton and Paul Perot, as we try to bring for you, as you're listening each morning, wherever you are in the country or around the world, some of the news from the perspective of genuine faith and real hope, in which we just try to keep doing this journey of life together. It's not always easy, but we celebrate here each morning that that tomb is empty. The Savior that we serve is risen, and that means we are part of a kingdom that knows no end. So whatever happens in the present, though real and not to be discounted, there is the reality of hope in the future. And we often get a little taste of that hope in our present that keeps us walking forward. And one of the guests we have on regularly does provide that taste of hope, and it is through the lens of kindness. If you listen regularly, you know the name of our friend, Nicole J. Phillips, who writes often about kindness and kindness being contagious. She has a lot of stories that she shares with us. So we ask her to come on Tuesday mornings and share short stories with us about that can inspire us as we do the rest of our week with kindness. Good morning, Nicole. Are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, Peter. Would you please promise me that you will write a book called Taste of Hope? Like, what a title. That's awesome.
That's a great title, Nicole. Yes, we would go along those lines, right? That really is what drives us forward, is the hope of the future, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It sure does. It makes all of this even fun, in fact, because then we know that we're on an adventure with God that's temporary. That, you know, like, hey, what are we going to do today, God, before I get to meet you eternally?
I love that. Well, I've got my tissue box ready here just in case. I never know what your kindness story is going to be, but I know you've left us weeping in the studio before. So what do you have for us this morning, Nicole?
Oh, this is a fun one. Out of Darboy, Wisconsin, a woman named Angie Slinger went to her son's elementary school and had lunch with her third grade son and his friends. Well, as lunch was wrapping up, one of the boys said to Mrs. Slinger, "Mrs. Slinger, here's a dollar. I want to pay for your son's lunch." And she kind of giggled and said, "Oh, no, honey, you know, you keep it like all of us moms would." And he said, "No, Mrs. Slinger, I want you to have this dollar. If you use this dollar right, you could feed the world." And then she looked at him and she thought, "Did I just hear that right?" She said, "What did you just say?" And he said, "Mrs. Slinger, if you use this dollar right, you could feed the world." And so she's like, "Oh my gosh, like that's a tall charge." So she went home and she went on Facebook and she set up a fundraiser for their local branch of Feeding America. And she just said, you know, "Does anyone want to match this kid's dollar or, you know, more?" And she set the goal at $200. And well, she got donations from all 50 states. She had 800 donors. And within 1 month, this was earlier in September, so they shut it off at the end of September. But within 1 month, she had turned that dollar from that little boy into $14,302, which equates to 43,339 meals. Isn't that amazing? And then someone from New Jersey saw it and started their own because they thought it was so cool. How cool is that?
Nicole, that Logan almost fell over in studio at the end of that when you referenced the 14,000. That's just incredible. I mean, it's sort of a modern day fishes and loaves kind of story.
Oh, totally. Totally. And from one little boy who said something, you know, that maybe God whispered in his ear.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Well, there's always enough in God's kingdom. It just is it's a matter of whether we're willing to share and to see and to be kind. And so, Nicole, for our listeners, you have a book out. Remind us of the book and tell our listeners where they can go to access more stories like this.
Yeah, so I have two books, Kindness is Contagious, 100 Stories to Remind You God is Good, and So Are Most People, and Kindness is Courageous, 100 Stories to Remind You that People Are Brave and Kind. And so you can find those on my website at braveandkind.net. And then, you know, it's exciting because every week I'm still putting up another story of kindness. So, and I have a podcast and other things that are just, it's just meant to be a happy, kind place to go and become inspired by your world.
Well, thanks. We love your work. Thanks for joining us on Tuesdays as you do, Nicole. We'll look forward to next week and another story of kindness.
Me too. Have a great day, Peter, and all your listeners.
Thanks so much. We'll take a short break here, and I see that Greg Coleman is on the line, former punter for the Minnesota Vikings, 12-year NFL veteran, and he'll be joining me in our new segment that is titled Faith in Sports, in which we talk with professional athletes and people all around maybe the Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, and the work they're doing outside of their vocation of sports that really does make an impact in our world. So Greg Coleman next on Faith Radio Mornings. It's about 10 minutes past the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined on the line this morning by Greg Coleman. Good morning, Greg Coleman. It's Greg Coleman, right? I think I got that right this morning. It must be a bit early.
It is a bit early, Peter, but it's okay. You're forgiven.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, thanks for coming on to the program. This is one of our new segments. You know, we title it Faith in Sports because I've been around the NBA for about 10 years as a media member, and there's always lots more going on in the locker rooms and with our athletes than just what we see maybe out on the court or on the field or on the pitch. And so I appreciate you coming on. I was really compelled, Greg, maybe a few years ago when I was listening to you and Paul Allen on KFAN in the mornings getting ready for the Vikings game, and suddenly, you came on with a pregame preach. It was about a 3 to 5 minute segment in which you're bringing biblical principles into the broadcast. I'm really curious how that got started.
Well, it's ironic that you mentioned Paul Allen because early in when he joined the Vikings radio network, we would call that segment Keys to the Game, Coleman Keys to the Game. And one day he was feeling a little rambunctious, and he said, well, you know, instead of coming down for the and it's right before kickoff. And, Peter, maybe it sounds like 3 to 5 minutes, but it's only about 30 to 40 seconds.
Boy, you pack a lot into that for 30 to 40 seconds because it has a lot of depth and meat to it, Greg.
Well, God can do it. I use this principle. If God can use a jackass, he can use my little 30 seconds to give him glory. So Paul Allen was the original, he was the originator of that, and it kind of started as a joke, but it's taken its own, it has its own, following, I guess, its own, meaning of just what you talked about, faith in sports, and it's so cool to be able to hear some of the feedback from Vikings fans, people all around the upper Midwest, and even those on who catch it by satellite, and even some of our service men and women across the pond. So the feedback has just been phenomenal, but it's nothing that I've done. I just try and use what God has always given me and give it back to him.
Well, it certainly is inspiring, and to see the intersection of faith and sports like that. And I'm not sure it was a faith thing last night, but I was watching some of the NFL game with the New Orleans Saints and Washington Redskins. And, of course, pretty historic night where quarterback Drew Brees broke the all-time record for passing yardage. And what I noticed, Greg, was some during the ceremony and then after the game was over is he spent all this time with his family and his kids, and he talked about hard work, and he talked about getting to this point really does require diligence and effort. And so in your time in the NFL, what are some things that you've noticed that we can take from a game like football and say, this really matters, not just for our character, but maybe even our Christian journey?
Well, one thing that most people may or may not know, we have a midweek Bible study on Thursdays, led by our chaplain, Tom Lamphere, who's been with the organization for quite a while. And every Saturday night, whether home or away, we have our fellowship service, our chapel service, 7:30 every Saturday night, and we'll find a speaker, either it's led by Tom, myself, or we'll find a local pastor or a former athlete who's a believer to come in and share with our guys, and that's every week, and that's where guys get a chance to really take the helmet off, take the jersey off. It doesn't matter what position you are, players or coaches. And we find out what's important. We remind each other of what's important. And post-game, in the middle of the field, after the game, we'll kneel in prayer. That's our outward declaration to let people know that, yeah, we've fought like crazy. We've tried to beat each other's brains out. But in the end, God still gets the glory. We pray with and for each other each and every week. So that those are some of the things that that we try to continue to do. But it is more than X's and O's. And we have a lot of strong and faithful believers on the team.
Well, I certainly watched somewhat mesmerized last night when the Washington Redskins players came up after the game and were authentically and heartily congratulating Drew Brees for the record and spent quite a bit of time across, you know, these different jerseys and different uniforms. And to your point, you know, you see Adrian Peterson on one side and you see Drew Brees on the other, and yet there's an affinity between them. There's some things we can learn from that, I think, as a country, can't we, Greg, in terms of all the divides that are happening?
You better know it. Regardless to what color jersey you are, what color melanin of skin tone that you have, you know, we all are people. We all bleed red. We all hurt when pain, and we all serve the same God. Those believers on different teams, and we're in such a place of division right now. The hostility. The outward biases there used to be times where it was subtle. Right now there's so much blatant division. There's so much blatant racism. There's so much blatant bias, implicit bias, regardless of what industry, what field, what age, what gender, all of those things. And I think it's called upon those of us who have the character of Christ, to be that example. You know, we've all been hit by racism. You know, I myself growing up down south, through different communities, growing up down in Jacksonville, growing up playing the position that I did, that was not a position that brothers had. I mean, you know, guys said, man, what position do you play? Because I was a pretty decent athlete. Well, I'm a punter. Man, you must be crazy. Ain't no brothers kicking in the National Football League. I said, well, that ain't my problem. You know, they better get ready. So, you know, things like that. But you talk about racism. See, I can't unzip the skin that I wear and hang it up at night. I have to live that 24/7. My kids can't take their skin off. So to be judged by the color of your skin, to have things that I have to have discussions with my kids, my grandkids, I'm sure that you don't have to because of the color of your skin. Come on, man, we're better than that, and we've got to do better.
Well, it's incredibly important words, Greg, these days, and just sort of the ongoing rancor and division in our country. And sports really can be a place where we can see these things come together. We'll take a short break. I know you tell a story about how you experienced some racism growing up, especially with a pretty successful football team that ultimately you were barred from the postseason. So I'd love to get into that with you next and some more conversation about how we can heal the racial divide together. Some more with Greg Coleman of the Minnesota Vikings next on Faith Radio Mornings. It's about 21 minutes past the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings, and delighted to be joined on the line by Greg Coleman, who does a lot of the broadcasting work for the Minnesota Vikings, NFL veteran of 12 years, and we have our segment that is titled Faith in Sports, in which we explore some of the intersection of our Christian faith with our professional sports in our country. And Greg, before getting back into the conversation on racial reconciliation, it was a pretty exciting weekend for the beloved purple here locally. I mean, that was a big win in Philadelphia, kind of exacting some kind of revenge from last year's NFC Championship game.
Well, it wasn't really a revenge factor. There was no redemption game and all of those things. Yeah, they knocked us out of the Super Bowl. You know, kept us from playing in the biggest game of the year. Was it in the back of our minds? Absolutely. It was a game that was on the road. It was an NFC game. It was one that we had to have because we've been struggling, on both sides of the ball. But we were able to put a game together. And, you still got to believe, and I think that was part of the pregame preach last week. Regardless to how things are going, regardless to who's injured, regardless to what that record is, you still got to believe, and that was a point of emphasis post game that the coaches talked about. Man, it was buy in and believe, and that's what the men did, and played all 60 minutes of football and beat a pretty good team up in Philadelphia. So it was a pretty exciting locker room. I hadn't seen that much excitement in a locker room, Peter, since the Minnesota Miracle last year. And so it was incredible. Great game.
Well, it does speak to the idea that, regardless of past, you always have to sort of focus on the present towards the future. I mean, we're just a few weeks removed from getting pretty well picked apart by the Buffalo Bills in a surprising loss, but yet you can come back from that, whether it's in football or in life. And regardless of past, you have to orient yourself towards the future.
Well, you can never become the mistake that you made, and that's in life. I mean, we've all made mistakes, but you can't be defined by that mistake. My pastor talks about it all the time. God, and I heard a promo during the break. God loves the hurt and those that are unhurting. And His grace and His forgiveness is for all of us, because we all, have sin, who was all sin and fall short, but through Him and His Word, and we can do all things. That.
Absolutely. We're talking with Greg Coleman here, former punter of the Minnesota Vikings, about the intersection of faith and sports. And Greg, in our first segment, you talked passionately about some of the issues around racial reconciliation. And we were talking in studio during the break just about that idea, as we can't unzip our skin. We do have to walk in what we're given. And boy, you had some difficult times growing up. I know you tell a story that brought me to tears as you talked about it relative to a successful football team you're a part of. And yet, because of the color of your skin, you weren't able to participate in the postseason. So tell our listeners about that.
Well, being part of a Pop Warner League down in Jacksonville, we were pretty good. I mean, we had some great athletes on that team. I think five guys off of that little league team went on to touch or put on an NFL uniform. And we were the city champions. And the rule is, you're city champs, you play in the Gator Bowl, So that was our goal. That's what we were aspiring to do. And after we won the championship, we went 10-0. We show up at the Gator Bowl. Prior to that, coaches told us, we're not going to play. They've given us the city champ. They've given us the title, but we're not going to play in the Gator Bowl. We can go to the Gator Bowl and take a picture. And I still have that photo, and it's very vivid in my mind. And I've shared this many a times with some of the guys on the team. No one out of, 35 or 40 young men, between the ages of 12, 13, 14 years old, there's not a smile on anybody's face, because we were told that we can't play because of the color of our skin. And that stung back then. It wasn't surprising, but it was disappointing. You talk about, the racial tension down in Jacksonville back then. I was a part of a group of 12 students that integrated a predominantly white junior high school. And you talk about, having to fight for your life every day until one of the coaches told some of the kids, hey, well, my brother and I played sports. We ran track and was, part of the football team. Hey, well, don't bother these two. No, what in the ham fat you mean don't bother these two? Mm. We're all in this together. It's all or none. So having to live through that, and live through those times, I've been able to look back and call on some of those days for strength, for reminders of the struggles of how far we've come and how far we have to go. And that's been a long, long time ago, man. But those wounds are fresh, just like it was yesterday.
Yeah, it's Greg Coleman that we're talking with about the intersection of faith and sports. And Greg, we have just about a minute left or so, but when you reference that kind of story, it really does give us an invitation about how we can be moving forward. And you talk about the common goal that football players attend to, that being the Super Bowl, regardless of color of skin. That really does, and without being a cliche about it, it really does model our life in the kingdom. We all serve the same Jesus, whether the color of our skin is darker or lighter or whatever hue it might be.
Without question, Peter. And the one thing that football gives you, it gives you a platform, and some of our men have used that platform, for God's glory, and others, we all get it at certain different times. and we'll look at a screen and say, man, well, why is this guy acting out this way? Or why is he doing it that way? You know what? As long as he gets it, that's the most important thing. And some guys will come back, some of the chapels that I have spoken at, man, you know, hey, Coleman, I remember you saying this. I remember you giving us this. You know, there's a I'll say this in closing. I tend to, what every chapel that I speak at, regardless of whether it's for the home team or away team, I give each of your player a little vial with a mustard seed in it. And I said, God said, if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. Yeah, as long as you're playing football, you're going to have mountains. But let me tell you something. When you take this jersey off, when you take that helmet off, man, those mountains are going to grow exponentially. So you continue to have this faith to move mountains on the field, and you can move mountains in your life if you keep God first. You know, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. And when guys come back and say, man, I remember that, you know, whether it was 5, 10, 15 years ago, that's when you know that, you know, you've made a difference. So you made a small difference in the kingdom of God. And that's what it's all about, man. And if we all do what we can do, you know, if we all put a little bit of drop, whatever drops we might have to fill the bucket of the kingdom, then we're all going to be all right.
That's Greg Coleman of Minnesota Vikings doing broadcasting work with Inspiring. That's just a great wisdom and great insight, Greg. I know sometimes you think we got to do something big for God, but it's in those daily experiences that we all add up together. Well, we'll look forward to this weekend's matchup between the Vikings and the Cardinals, and certainly we'll tune into your pregame preach this weekend. Thanks for joining us on Faith Radio Mornings.
All right, Peter, be well, my friend.
Take a break here for Breakpoint and bottom of the hour news. And when we come back, we will be joined by author Daniel Darling, and we'll talk about his book, The Dignity Revolution. And it'll really tie into with what Greg was saying around being able to see each other in the dignity and the worth that we all carry, regardless of background and color of skin. Been talking this morning with Nicole Phillips about stories of kindness, as well as Greg Coleman, the former punter for the Minnesota Vikings, was ending his segment with the idea that just little bits of faith and little acts of kindness really can add up in the kingdom. So we got a lovely note from a listener who is talking about the kindness she experienced while running a marathon. She says, I ran Twin Cities Marathon Sunday, and I was overwhelmed by the kindness of strangers who came out to cheer random strangers on. People passed out Kleenex, bananas, candy, water, made signs, dressed up in crazy costumes, played their tubas and accordions and guitars. They even played the Rocky theme song and offered donuts, which I wish I could have had. Hundreds of people who volunteered to make the marathon go smoothly, and it's just amazing. I think if there's any remedy in our country for the ongoing division and rancor that's happening, these are the kind of stories that will help. Yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings, we were joined by Brandon Showalter of the Christian Post, and he was talking about the need for us as believers to stand up for what's right, but to do so in the right way.
It's becoming clearer and clearer as the days pass that many secular governments are seeking to eradicate all expressions of the Christian faith from the culture. That does exist. It's a real thing. We do have to contend for what's good and what's true and what's right if we want to preserve ourselves, but if we care about the gospel. I mean, the gospel thrived in persecution. We've got to rediscover our willingness to fight and to do it the right way. We owe it to a world that's lost to declare what's true and what's good. I mean, Jesus didn't die on a cross so we could all just sit around and do church. He's inaugurated a kingdom that we get to be a part of its advancement. So let's do it.
Brandon does such a great job with bringing some of the headlines and Christian faith to bear on them. I know he's located in Washington, D.C., and he was even in the White House last night as part of Justice Kavanaugh's swearing-in ceremony. So he's got this insider look, and I highly recommend catching his segment from yesterday. If you want to go to myfaithradio.com, you can search for Christian Post or Brandon Showalter and hear all of what he had to say. Well, up next here on Faith Radio Mornings, I'll be joined by pastor and author Daniel Darling in his book, The Dignity Revolution, which is about reclaiming God's rich vision for humanity and how we really see one another and how that can make a difference in our relationships. We do have a few copies of this book to give away, and I'll give you some more details next on Faith Radio Mornings.
Have you ever experienced a one-way conversation? You talked to someone, there was a transfer of information, but no real connection? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. There was a student at our Heartlight Residential Program for teens several years ago who fit the one-way conversation description. Ask her how her day was going, and you get a 20-minute soliloquy on all her likes, dislikes, her talents, her achievements, and her dreams for life. Partway through this chatter, it occurred to me she was merely trying to engage in the best way she knew how, by impressing me. All she really wanted was to feel valued. She just didn't know how to go about it. So next time you're in one of those one-way conversations, look below the words and value the person.
Want to hear Mark in person? For a list of upcoming events, go to parentingtodaysteens.org.
Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings here about 18 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined on the line by pastor and author Daniel Darling, who wrote the book, The Dignity Revolution. We do have a few copies that we can give away to you as listeners. If you want to text or call, make sure that you include your name, your mailing address, and your email, and you can do so at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And with that, we'll bring Daniel onto the line. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning.
Well, we love having you on with this book, The Dignity Revolution. And I think I don't know if you had plans when you were writing this book to release it at a time in our country when it sure seems like we could stand to view each other a bit differently and get past some of the rancor and into our common image of God-bearing reality. So tell us about the book here, Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, I started on this a few years ago, and even back then, had no idea sort of some of the conversations we'd be having today, but have just had a sense that, as Christians, we really need to recover this very robust vision of what it means to be created in the image of God, and just imagining how it would change the way that we interact with politics and public policy and cultural issues. And I've always been fascinated by the way that the Bible describes humanity, the kind of the rich way that Moses in Genesis describes God sort of reaching with his hands into the dust of the ground and forming humans and breathing into them the breath of life. And of course, King David saying that every human being is knit together in their mother's womb. So the Bible gives such an exalted view of humanity. And imagine if we really recaptured this, how it would change the way that I think the church interacts in the world.
Well, I'd be curious how we do that day to day, Daniel. Any suggestions that you have for that? Because I know when I talk with my students sometimes in class, we talk about how we critically evaluate and appraise people almost immediately. And maybe it's because of their height. Maybe it's because of the clothes that they're wearing, or maybe it's their hairstyle. Maybe it's their age. Maybe it's color of the skin. How can we stop maybe seeing people through such superficial lenses and recognize, regardless of what's happening right now in the moment and the presenting image, there's the deeper image of God-bearing reality.
That's exactly right. And we are tempted, as humans have been tempted in every age, to value people based on their perceived utility to us. And so, if they have certain gifts that help us, we like, or if they, are from a certain tribe or political bent or something like that, we give them value, assign them value based on these sort of social metrics. As Christians, we should view people as whole people. They're not the sum total of their political beliefs. They're not just who they present themselves to be. They're people made in the image of God. And the Bible makes the case that there are no, as C.S. Lewis says, there are no mere mortals, like that every single person has value and has dignity.
And Daniel, we've got, by the way, if you're listening this morning, it's Daniel Darling. We do have some copies of the book to give away, The Dignity Revolution. Go ahead and text the studio at 877-933-2484 with name, mailing address, and email address, and we'll get you a copy of the book, or at least put you in the drawing for it. And Daniel, you make a good point here just a moment ago that we look at each other through sort of utilitarian lenses. What can you do for me? And boy, that almost in our entire growing up these days seems like we're shepherding our kids to make sure that they can build their resume so they can be successful, but we're reducing people down to what they can do and what their successes and achievements. It really is a difference between who we are on a resume and who we are as people.
That's exactly right. I mean, we are not valuable because of of our accomplishments or our gifting. And really, this is where the church should show a different way. You know, and the kingdom of God is, as novelist Graham Greene says, made up of all the wrong people, right? And so Jesus said that there's not many noble, not many wise that are called. In other words, the ethics of the kingdom of God are that you are valued because you are a human being who has bears the image of the Creator. And so whether or not you have great gifts, or whether or not you have don't have great gifts, or you have cognitive disability, or wherever you are on that spectrum, you have value and you have worth. And we're tempted to adopt sort of the world's ideas of what value is. And this happens, you know, in small ways, like you said, where we sort of teach our kids that they're valued because of their grades or because of their potential or their future, all the way to the other end of the spectrum where, you know, society makes value judgments based on your perceived utility. So if you think about some of the ways that we look at the elderly, for instance, that, you know, in our minds, we think sometimes that maybe they're too much of a burden on society, that maybe we need to, you know, there's the death with dignity movement that says that when you're at the end of your usefulness, maybe it's time to prematurely end your life, or the way that we look at the unborn, where we say, unborn babies are an inconvenience to our way of life. They're an obstacle. They don't contribute to anything. So therefore, we have things like abortion. And so I think we have to be very careful as Christians, the way that we value people.
Yeah, you write specifically about those issues in your book about abortion and about the dignity of dying. And after the break, we'd love to get into some of the specifics of that. One quick question before we go. And do you have any suggestions for parents that maybe are raising their kids in that utilitarian way without even realizing it? As you're talking this morning, Daniel, it calls to mind that verse, what is a profit to gain the entire world but to otherwise lose your soul? And I think that's always for the people out there super successful in business. But I think it actually subtly can relate to us as parents, doesn't it, with our kids, where we're teaching them to gain the whole world through their resume, and yet we're not really feeding the soul.
That's exactly right. And we want to teach our kids that they are both body and soul, that our bodies matter, that God loves our bodies, that we're not just, you know, spirits in a physical vessel, but we're body and soul the way God created us, that matters. And that our identity is not found in our desires. It's not found in our struggles. It's not found in our work or our resume. Our identity is found as image bearers of God and redeemed image bearers of Christ. And it also affects the way we see others, not just the way we see ourselves, but the way we see others. Do we value them based on what they can do for us? Do we disvalue them because they are in a different socioeconomic class or a different race or perhaps different political tribe? I think it matters as parents the language we use about people groups and about the language we use about ourselves.
It's pastor and author Daniel Darling, and we have the book, The Dignity Revolution. I see some of you are texting in studio already. You can go ahead and do that at 877-933-2484. We have a copy. It's a very important book. Daniel does a great job getting into some of the specific issues of the day and how our views of one another can impact them. So, Daniel, when we come back from break, I would love to get your thoughts on how this does impact the abortion situation in our country, as well as thinking about how we can die with dignity. So lots more to come with Daniel Darling next. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I am joined by author and pastor Daniel Darling in the book, The Dignity Revolution. If you've been listening, you know we have a few copies of this book available. Many of you are texting into the studio so far this morning. You can please do so at 877-933-2484, and you can be put into a drawing where we have a few copies of this very important book to give away. Daniel, before the break, we talked a little bit about the specifics of how our views of one another really can impact how we do our lives together and even social policy in our country. And you write a bit about abortion and the impact, obviously, that has had. And even one of the more troubling dimensions of it seems that more recently parents are sort of finding out about maybe physical deformities that might be happening in the womb or challenges that might be part of the development of the fetus. And in that, they choose abortion. And wow, it gets really troubling, doesn't it, when we decide to value people on certain metrics based on I'm not sure what.
Yeah, it really is troubling. One of the things that the pro-life movement has done for our society is to kind of give us a moral vocabulary for how to talk about the least defensible among us. You know, we have stood for almost 50 years and pointed to the unborn baby in the womb and said, hey, this is not just a clump of cells. This is not just a fetus, as you describe it. This is a human being with their own DNA, with a heartbeat that has been crafted by their creator. And what happens, you know, is with abortion is that we have said to ourselves that the unborn baby is an inconvenience to us, that we have sort of dehumanized by using this sort of clinical language. And specifically, as you said, you know, when tests come back and show that unborn babies have some kind of deformity, sadly, most in most cases, those babies are aborted because we've said we can't live with less than as we deem perfect children. And the truth is, God says that every human being is a full human being bearing his image, whether or not they have deformities, they have cognitive disabilities. And as Christians, we need to be the kind of people that say, you know, we want these people into our lives. We want Down syndrome children. We want deformed children. These are God's children as much as anybody else.
Well, I think it's such an important topic, especially you referenced Down syndrome. And really what we're talking about here, Daniel, is just a person made in God's image that maybe their brain is not functioning in the way that other people's brains might, but it's just part of the physicality of stuff. It doesn't actually mar the image at all. And I'll tell you what, for the parents that I know that have Down syndrome babies, that they express God's image in ways that are unbelievably unique. And those parents will often say, I wouldn't necessarily wish the difficulty of the journey, but I wouldn't trade it for anything for all of what God has taught me through this person.
That's exactly right. And, you know, if you talk to parents of Down syndrome children, it's not easy. It's very difficult. But you talk about the joy that their family receives from having a child like that in their life. And I think as Christians, we not only need to look at the way that we society sometimes talks about the unborn and devalues the unborn, but we need to look around and say, who are the people who are marginalized in our society, and what language are we using? So sometimes the way, even though an issue like immigration is very complex to figure out, some of the ways that we even talk about immigrants and refugees in ways that are dehumanizing as sort of invaders or a burden on our society, and we forget that they too bear the image of God. Or sometimes the way that we talk to each other in our political debates, where we reduce our political opponents to something that's less than human. And anytime a society does this, it's very much a slippery slope. When you can have a group of people that you can sort of consider less than human, you can justify almost any action to them. And so Christians need to be the kind of people who are saying, looking around and saying, who are the people today that are marginalized, that are vulnerable, and how can we come alongside them and fight for their dignity and also come alongside them with compassion and care?
It's Daniel Darling speaking about the dignity of all people. Daniel, we just have about 30 seconds left, but this also extends to people that are in their last stages of life, you know, where maybe there's not this utilitarian function that we see anymore, and yet there's no less dignity. So just in our last few seconds, can you comment on that?
Yeah, the Bible tells us that we are made in the image of God, and that our lives are valuable regardless of our output. So even someone at the last stage of life who is very limited, God looks at them as a full human being and a full person. And the answer for that kind of suffering is not to end your life prematurely, but to submit to the Creator who has rule over our lives, and to look forward to that day when our bodies will be resurrected and will be restored and renewed. That the gospel is good news for our bodies, that He is going to reverse the curse, and that we will be given new bodies, and He'll restore us and make us whole again.
That's Daniel Darling, and we do have about a minute left that you can text the studio if you want a copy of the book, The Dignity Revolution. Just include your name and your phone number and your email to 877-93-FAITH. Daniel, thanks so much for joining us this morning on Faith Radio Mornings. Great book.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on. I'm grateful for the work and ministry y'all are doing.
Well, thanks so much. We'll take a break here and wrap up our show here for today. Great topics with Daniel Darling that we just addressed. I know Rachel Sutton in studio has a brother who's Down syndrome and talks about that he has received the love chromosome. And I think many of us can identify and relate to that. Well, appreciate you listening today, as always, on Faith Radio Mornings, and look forward to catching you tomorrow as we'll have more about faith and hope.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.